behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin.
Potato, potato, potato.
Now, why would you say that?
Oh, well, I guess... Oh, my name's Ben Bolin. I guess I would say that because that's how people will often read the sound of a Harley Davidson depicted in text.
Yeah, this is crazy. I have never in my life heard anybody say potato, potato, potato as the way a Harley Davidson sounds. I mean, they usually make some kind of, you know, growling noise or something like that. There's a better way... For me, it seems like there's a better way to describe the way a Harley Davidson sounds.
Yeah, when you're reading that phrase potato, 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 or whatever, the only thing I think you and I can both agree, Scott, the only thing that really has a shot at imitating the unique Harley sound is the rhythm of it. So it's more like a. I don't know. Noel may not be picking that up.
Well, when you say it, if you mumble it to yourself almost, and the sound that the P makes and the first T makes in the word potato, 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 potato.
Yes.
That's the rhythm of the way a Harley-Davidson engine idles, right?
Yes, which brings us to today's podcast. Does a Harley-Davidson engine have a unique sound? I mean, we've read about this so much. We've heard so many motorcycles, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it does and it doesn't, Ben. I mean, to me, there are a lot of big bikes out there that have the sound of a Harley Davidson, but I mean, I've got an untrained ear, I guess. I mean, they sound a lot like that, but they're not exactly like a Harley Davidson. And there was a court case really that goes along with this that we'll mention later.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe first, we should describe, you know, why it has this distinct sound, according to Harley, why it's so distinct.
Ah, yes. So let's dive right into it, Scott. What do you say? And look at the engine itself.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but you want to start with like a single cylinder example.
Oh, yeah.
We can't say that, but like a basic 4-stroke engine, how it operates.
Okay, yeah.
Now it's got the, you know, the 4 strokes, I guess.
Sure.
Four.
Intake, compression, combustion, exhaust.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. So you got the flow right there, right? I mean, it's intake, compression, combustion, exhaust, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's every 2 revolutions of the crankshaft that happens, right?
Yes.
Okay. So with a single cylinder example. So imagine like a lawnmower or something like that idling.
Sure, a small engine.
That's right. And you can easily hear that, you know, that pop, pop, pop sound, which is really what you're hearing is the exhaust valve opening up and letting the exhaust out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that's the firing sound that you hear. That's not the
case. Accurate.
It's actually the exhaust valve popping open and you're hearing that exit.
And that's every second revolution.
Exactly.
Of the crankshaft.
Yeah. Now, on a 2-cylinder example, it's just a little bit different, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On a 2-cylinder example, there's a timing consideration here. So the pistons are timed to fire on one revolution. One of them, excuse me, will fire on one revolution of the crankshaft, and then the second piston fires on the next revolution.
That's right. So it's like every revolution of the crankshaft, one piston firing at that point.
The way it's timed, it's still the same operation as a single piston, because it's still just going every second revolution, you know, piston A is firing.
Exactly, exactly. So you can think of it this way. It's like they're firing at like 180 degrees from each other.
Mm-hmm.
In that, you know, there's one, then a revolution, another one fires, et cetera. You've already got that down. So.
Yeah, and this balance gives the engine a balanced feeling, people will say. And the crankshaft, just the connection here, the crankshaft has 2 separate pins for the connecting rods. And, as you already said, they're 180 degrees apart.
All right. Now, I gotta mention this here. We said the pins, right?
Yeah.
Now, just for somebody who may not know what the pins mean, if you think about a crankshaft, there's the eccentric part of the crankshaft. So let's say that, you know, you've got, put your fingers together, I guess, you know, to touch them together in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now pull them apart slightly. And then, you know, in between, there's going to be a part that's offset up or down with another rod in between. And if you can picture a crankshaft in your mind, you can see that, right?
Yes.
And so that the center rod is always spinning directly. And again, it's a center rod, so it spins on its own axis.
Mm-hmm.
There's that eccentric part that goes around. That eccentric part where the connecting rod connects is the pin. Now, on a Harley-Davidson engine. We're going to get here. Now, it has two pistons, but the thing is it only has one pin. So instead of having two pins like most engines with two cylinders would
right,
have,
yeah.
It has one pin that the pistons share.
Yes. So this, and we should also say that the cylinders are in a V arrangement, mm-hmm. as, you know, anybody could tell with a Harley. This means that the pistons physically cannot fire at even intervals. So they can't fire, like, they, one can't fire every 360 degrees. They're not that, they don't have that 180 degrees kind of latitude.
I know. This thing, you know, it's tough to describe this. It's a very visual thing.
Right. And I just want to say, Scott, as the first sidebar of this podcast,
yeah.
You did an excellent job describing crankshaft pins, for, you know, I'm sorry, listeners, that you can't see this right now, but we just went through the example together, and I was mimicking you, and I think I'm going to use that. I think I'm going to use that explanation when I'm trying to tell my girlfriend what a crankshaft is.
That should work. That's a very easy way to do it, right? A very visual way to do it. Now, I've got another little trick here that if the listeners at home want to kind of play along with this, but it will give you an idea of how narrow. The V engine arrangement is of the cylinders in the Harley engine, because it's a really, really narrow design, which means that the pistons, when they're in the combustion chamber, mm-hmm. You can figure the motion, the up down motion of them. It's not spread out like far apart, like east west. It's more like, they're way, way together. And the
yeah.
best way to describe this is if you draw a circle on a piece of paper, and you gotta follow me here on this one.
I'm following.
Draw a circle on a piece of paper. And think of it as a clock face.
Okay.
At the top is 360 degrees. We'll call that top dead center.
Okay. We'll call that 12.
Yeah, 12 o'clock. You're right, 12 o'clock. At 3 o'clock would be 90 degrees. At 6 o'clock would be 180 degrees. Mm-hmm. At 9 o'clock, 270 degrees. All right? So now in between where you've marked 270 and 360, right in the middle, right at the 1030 point, mark 315 degrees. Okay? That's mm-hmm. that's 45 degrees off of top dead center. And then you can straighten that diagram out so that it looks like a V instead of looking like an offset, instead of something that shoots off to the left. Move that so the V points, I guess, the normal way you would write a V. And you can see how narrow, this 45 degree angle is. It's really, really narrow. But that gives you an idea of where the pistons are in a 45 degree V twin engine from Harley. And this gets into, You gotta really figure this out. Now, that 315 and 360 is what we'll call top dead center. So the piston fires, this is the way the engine operates. The piston fires at TDC, which is top dead center, again, the 360 mark.
Yeah.
Then the next piston, it rotates all the way around, and then when we get to that 315 degree point that I told you about at 1030,
yeah.
That's when the next piston fires.
And then there's a gap.
There's a long gap because it goes all the way around from that 315 degree mark all the way back around to 360 before the next piston fires.
So that's 405 degrees.
Exactly. So it's top dead center fire, at 360. The next piston fires at the 315 degree mark. And then there's a 405 degree gap. And then the piston fires again at the 360 degree mark. So it's like bang.
Like bang, bang, pause.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, pause.
Exactly.
And pop, pop, pause. Pop, 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 pop.
Are we getting too into the weeds here on this? Because, I mean, if you draw it out like I have it, I mean, I have it drawn out here, and that's the best way for me to learn this, because I'm learning this along with everybody else in the way. It's such an unusual design, the V-twin design.
And, Scott, I did a similar thing to your clock example or clock comparison with a compass.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing the same thing, and I got something kind of like north, northeast, and northwest.
Very good. That's probably the best way to put it.
And so we have reached here an explanation. We didn't get too far in the weeds. An explanation of why that pause occurs. It's because of that 405 degree gap in the revolution there.
So a regular a V-twin engine, I guess, that's more of a balanced design that may have two pins, let's say.
Sure.
That would probably have more of if the sound that it would make would be like pop, 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 pop. It's very balanced, right? Very
right,
even.
Right.
because of the way I just told you that, you know, that's it's a fire, 315 degrees, 405 degrees fire, you know, and that type of rhythm. So it's pop, pop, pause, pop, pop, pause, pop, pop, pause. That's the sound a Harley makes. And that's the potato, 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 potato thing, right?
Yeah.
And if I say it, let's just listen to it and think about it. It's potato, 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 potato. That's kind of the rhythm of a Harley at idle at a street light. And you can kind of get, you know, but without making, you know, the growling sound, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Not a full throttle or anything like that, because it sounds different. We're talking about the idle popping noise. And that's what Harley thinks is so unique, right?
And we are going to delve into that. Now, we've just expounded on the technical explanation. There really is a physical reason. It's not just marketing, you guys. There really is a reason inside of the engine that produces this noise. It's not like that Betty Crocker thing. It's not the marketing thing. Did you ever hear about that?
Add an egg?
Yeah. Quick sidebar here, but originally, the story goes that the Betty Crocker company had problems with their cake mix because people only needed to add water. And so their sales weren't doing too well. And they said, we need something that makes people feel like it's unique or they're actually cooking.
Yeah, they said they weren't baking anything, right? I mean, if you're just adding water, you're not really baking.
Right. So they said, just throw an egg on it.
Yeah, and like it doesn't really do anything, right? It doesn't
no,
help it in any
not
way.
Really.
But people felt better about cracking an egg, so that's what they did.
Right. And so we're saying that Harley Davidson is not, I think, I'm going to go ahead and call it, I think that Harley Davidson here is not guilty of doing some kind of marketing shenanigan. You know, although some people will say, it's just a brand perception.
No, they've got a unique design. I mean, which we just tried to describe there. I don't know if we did a good job or not.
We did okay.
I hope so.
I'd give us a B.
So yeah, maybe a B minus on that one. But if you got the diagrams drawn up, maybe I'll take a photo or something.
We'll put it on Facebook.
Anyway, so if you understand what we just tried to show you in that, there's a distinct design difference in the Harley engine versus other engines. Similar engines, I guess.
And when we return, we're going to talk about why that still remains controversial, right?
Yeah. That's it, even to this day.
So, Scott, I wanted to take a moment to talk about jackthreads.com.
Ooh, we both like jackthreads, right?
Yes. Well, we are enthusiasts of wearing clothes. And, you know, we may not be the most fashionable guys in Rio de Janeiro, probably because we're not there right now.
That might be good.
That's the main reason.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because, buddy, we are getting set up on jackthreads.com. You know me, man. I have a taste for the finer things, but my wallet has a taste for the inexpensive ones, right?
Yeah, something cheap, right? And not cheap, but maybe inexpensive is maybe a better way to say it, because everything on Jackthreads' site, Ben, is up to 80% off, which is really cool. That's a great deal. I mean, deep, deep discount.
Yeah, and we're not talking strange foreign produced knockoffs like Mikey or D-Bock or something.
I like those, yeah.
Thank you. We're talking about name brands like Penguin, for instance.
Yeah, Converse, Busted Tees, you know, brands like that. I mean, it's big brand name items that you would actually want to wear.
There is a catch, and that catch is that this place is kind of exclusive. They have a waiting list, actually. It's because it's a membership. It's a club.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe, but there's a shopping club here that you have to be part of in order to use the Jackthreads site. But if you know us, Ben, if you know us, then you're in.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of pull on the internet, apparently.
Yeah, you can skip the membership wait list completely and get instant access. And all you have to do is, as a listener of Car Stuff, all you have to do is go to jackthreads.com/carstuff and just mention that you know us. Or I think that URL gets you in, as a matter of fact. You can start browsing around, checking out some of the accessories, checking out some of the streetwear, whatever they happen to have that you may be interested in. And honestly, I don't think anybody's going to come away from there not finding something.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned the accessories, Scott. I know that they are probably your favorite part of the site.
I've mentioned it a few times. Yeah, They've got some really unusual stuff there. And I mean, you could spend a long, long time poking around in the accessories part, just checking that stuff out. I'm not so much of a clothes guy myself, but I think all the other stuff is really interesting to me. So check it out. It's worth it.
And, maybe we'll talk to them about getting some Car Stuff t-shirts.
Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. So we'll work on that, but let's get back to the Harley sound because although, as we said,
we've tried to.
The workings of the engine that produced this sound, that's only half the battle, right?
Yeah, there's this whole thing about, protecting that sound and it's kind of like a brand recognition, a little chest puffery for Harley Davidson, right? Saying that, this is our sound. We want to protect it. And what happened was, I guess there were a lot of,
imitators.
There were some Japanese motorcycle makers that started to kind of enter the market of the great big motorcycles in the 1980s. And, they kind of had this rumbling sound, these V-twin engines that sounded an awful lot like the Harley Davidson sound. Mm-hmm. And, Harley, they kind of got their dander up a little bit and said, maybe we better do something to protect this sound. So the question is out there. I've heard this on, I think it was on the Straight Dope.
Yeah.
They mentioned, did Harley actually try to patent the sound? And one of the first things that they mention is, well, of course, you don't patent a sound. Mm-hmm. You would trademark a sound. And yes, as a matter of fact, Harley Davidson tried to trademark their sound.
And as we continue, trademarking a sound is not as unusual as we might think. Harley Davidson had already been using this as a pretty much using it as a trademark before they trademarked it until like 2001, they had been known for being devoted to the two-cylinder V-twin 45-degree angle with the cylinders, the whole low revving.
Mm-hmm, the single pin.
The single pin, lots of torque. This was their thing, man. They were known for doing this and, they were far from the first people who ever tried to trademark a sound.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you do go to the Straight Dope, they've got this article that mentions this exact thing that we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
And, the patent or the – boy, I'm going to mix it up.
The trademark.
The trademark sound thing. You would be surprised at how many sounds are trademarked. There's a list now, and it's growing every day, of course,
right.
Or every year, rather. I went to a Mental Floss article that was kind of linked to this one that mentions a lot of these sounds that are trademarked that you probably would recognize if I mentioned them, or at least some of them.
Yeah.
I guess the first on the list here is NBC's Musical Notes.
Doom, doom, doom.
Exactly. And that's,
did I just get a suit?
Maybe, yeah. That was the first trademark for a sound. For its radio broadcasting services in 1950. So that's the very first one. MGM's Lion's Roar.
Yep.
At the beginning of a movie. The song Sweet Georgia Brown for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Mm-hmm.
You can picture that one, right?
And I think, let's see, also modern-day companies have that, like Yahoo.
Yeah.
Had their trademarked Yahoo sound, which I won't subject you guys
to. That's the yodeling sound, the singing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There's also the Intel sound that they always make when they mention the Intel chips inside of whatever device.
Intel inside.
Exactly. The Looney Tunes theme song.
Sure.
Even that little TiVo popping sound is trademarked.
Oh, well, I don't blame them.
The little two-tone popping. I think they have a six-tone as well, or six-sound. The Green Giant, the ho-ho-ho part.
Yes.
That's trademarked. Here's a good one for us. The double A, beep, beep, MCO. That one with the horn
yeah,
sound
yeah,
in the middle.
Yeah.
That's trademarked. There's so many of these things. I mean, like Mr. Softy's jingle from the ice cream trucks.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just guessing here, but is this the reason that the actual Happy Birthday song is never played on television?
You know what? I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that.
I think someone owns it, but now I hope I haven't ruined television for a lot of people. there is a legal reason that no one can sing Happy Birthday.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're getting off track. Just to say that it's not crazy.
No, it's not crazy to trademark a sound, and Harley really put a lot of effort into it. They tried this. Man, when does this go back to? It's they tried it a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Now they finally withdrew the application to register the engine sound in about the year 2000, I think.
But the legal battle goes back to the Japanese automakers in the 80s.
Yeah,
right?
but I think they didn't actually bring it to court until around 94 because there was about 6 years of just constant legal proceedings with no resolution in sight, is what they say. And Harley finally said, you know what, we feel that we've already won in the court of public opinion. I think that, you know, we're just going to settle it here and say that, you know, everybody knows the Harley sound anyways.
Mm-hmm.
We win.
Right. It's one of those things where they say we've won the real battle. Now, for their part, Cecil or Cecil Adams says in his Straight Dope article, for their part, the Japanese manufacturers did say that all big motorcycles sound pretty much the same. And apparently from how the battle worked out, the people at Harley eventually said, you know, we're not going to keep fighting this battle.
I accept your surrender.
I accept your surrender. Yeah. That's excellent.
Yeah, maybe that's the way it was posited, I guess, at the end of that battle. But again, 6 years of legal proceedings, I can imagine that they were just tired of the whole thing. I mean, it's got to be a lot of money and time that's just given to that effort, you know. And once they found out, you know, like there's not going to be any end of this to this issue in sight. Let's just wrap it up here and say that, you know, we've already won.
Right.
People know what a Harley sounds like. Let's leave it at that.
So to bring this all back together, then, we have two answers to the question, is the Harley sound unique or is it distinctive? Definitely. The way that the engine is built does produce a distinctive sound. Is it unique? Legally speaking, not really.
No, there's a lot of bikes out there that sound similar. They're not exactly the same, though. I mean, there are other factors that go into this, but the main thing here is that pin design, that single pin design that we mentioned on the crankshaft, and again the positioning of the cylinders and the firing. You know, that's, you know, again, 360 and then 315, then 405 degrees of a gap, then 360, 315. Mm-hmm. It's just that rhythm of sound that they have is different than anything else. And I don't know. I don't know. Harley riders, I think, can pick it out in a second. I've got an untrained ear. I might have a little bit of a tougher time picking something like that out, you know, versus another big road bike.
Sure.
But I think that somebody who has been around them all their life would be able to pick out a Harley sound versus, I don't know what other brand, but just another Japanese brand that's a big road bike.
Yeah, I was going to say my uncle and a couple of his running buddies up in Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
same thing, man. They can tell. They can when they hear one coming up the road. Now, granted, maybe this is in rural East Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
Rural East Tennessee. So maybe they just know everybody who owns the bikes.
Could be.
But yeah, they do a great job now, of identifying. And, they also claim that they can tell the difference between, American made bikes, the sound they make, and foreign manufactured bikes in general. I don't know about that.
I don't know, Ben.
I don't know about that.
I wouldn't doubt that. I think that if you pay enough attention to something like that, you can pretty much nail, you know, what even manufacturers. And again, that goes right along with what Harley's saying is that, you know, we do have this unique sound, this distinct sound that's unequivocally Harley Davidson.
And Harley-Davidson bikers agree, that is for sure. So we hope that we have shed a little bit of light on the famous Harley sound.
Yeah, I hope we didn't confuse you too much with, you know, draw a circle. You know what that sounds like now that I think about it?
What's that?
That sounds like Ross Perot. Remember?
Yeah.
Now draw a circle. Now cut it in half. Now cut it in half again. No, it's not like that. It was, it's more like, I was just trying to get you to visualize, you know, the position in the cylinders and all that. And it seems like an easy way to do it, but I hope I didn't confuse anybody too much with that. You know, maybe we should take some photos of our notes or something.
Yeah, maybe we should take some photos of our notes or do a short video.
I don't know. Have them look it up somewhere else because, you know, there's probably some really great detailed information out there about the actual positioning and design of the Harley engine. And it's worth looking into just – that's what we did, and that's how we got this information. But it really does make sense when you look into it and you figure it out. And it does take some time to sit down. It may take you 15 minutes to sit down and draw it out and think about it and you know, understand what you're hearing when you hear a Harley-Davidson.
And we can help you with the beginning leg of your search here. We went to two articles from our very own website, in addition to some of our other stuff. One of them was What Gives a Harley Its Distinctive Sound, which you can find on HowStuffWorks.com. And you can also find How Harley Davidson Works, which will also on HowStuffWorks.com, excuse me, give you a bigger picture, both the history of the company, along with what makes it and motorcycles in general such distinctive machines. Now, Scott, as you know, we are probably getting some emails now about, as we speak, about people's experiences with motorcycles. What I'd like to ask you guys for is any example you can think of times when you have heard a motorcycle and been able to clearly identify it, or someone you know who can, and also what kind of motorcycle topics you'd like to hear in the future. Because, Scott, we get a lot of questions from motorcycle shows.
Yeah, we are always on the lookout for something like that, and I know that we've had one recently for someone looking for a first-time buyer looking for a motorcycle and what to look for, maybe some tips, because they know about cars, don't know about motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. We've had a lot of motorcycle safety suggestions recently.
Yes.
That's always a big one. And some new equipment, things like that, you know, that we get here and there. But we're always on the lookout for topics for everything, motorcycles included. So keep them coming, guys.
Yeah. You can drop us a line at Twitter. You can send us a message or befriend us on Facebook. I mean, we're okay. We're pretty cool.
Yeah. We're okay to talk to.
Yeah. We're sometimes funny.
Not today.
Oh, not today. Come on, there. That was a pretty good Ross Perot, I think.
Oh, maybe.
All right, so we're going to head out. And, one last thing. If you'd like to talk to us directly, you can always send us an email at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.